Yo, welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin, joined by the Bible scholar, Charles Leger, a.k.a. Granddaddy. If you're curious, we're just two guys looking to spread love, hope, and joy across the world by sharing with you the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it changed our lives. And we made this podcast so we could specifically show you how it's going to change and impact your life as well. So we aim to take this message across the world, and you can help us do that by going to anchor.fm/unchained. That's anchor.fm/unchained. And from that page, guys, you got three options. The first option is called More Places to Listen. Click it, guys, and then you can listen to us on your favorite podcast station. That helps keep us on the air. Or you can click the button right below that, and you can donate to help keep us alive. You can make a small monthly contribution, or you can leave us a voice message and tell us how this podcast has changed your lives. Thank you, guys. Hey, what is up, y'all? Welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin. Again, no Bible scholar this week, man. You guys know the drill, man. Keep my boy in your prayers, man, as he is still battling with some life challenges. But anyway, man, I hope you guys have had a great week. I hope you guys, last week that was. I hope you guys are having, a fantastic day. It is a beautiful Sunday morning, man. And, I'm just thrilled that I have the ability and I am afforded the opportunity to continue to minister in such a way that is, unique, man. I'm just so grateful for the gift and just the courage God has given me, man. And so I'm before you guys here today, man, another weekend, yet another podcast episode where God has really poured into my mind, my heart, and my spirit. And I am thrilled, man, again, about this word that I'm going to give to you guys today. And like I said, I don't want to keep you long. I know sometimes I say that and then I end up having like an hour long podcast, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I end up having an hour long podcast, man. But with all that being said, I do want you guys just to understand that right now we're in a season, man, where we all need hope, motivation, inspiration, encouragement. And that's the whole reason why I make this podcast, man. I do this for y'all. I know that this is a tough season in your life. I know this is some tough holidays for you guys. But again, like I said, I'm just trying to utilize my gift the best of my ability. That's the whole reason why we created Unchained Motivation, is that we can actually put forth our best effort. And with that, man, our hopes were that you guys will find freedom through the message. Of course, Unchained is just it is just our way of just saying that, you are not tied down to your situation. You can be free if you choose to be. We use a tagline, break away from ordinary, because the life that you have, if it is not where you want it to be, guess what? You're not tied to it, man. You can actually break away from that. You can become better. You can do more. You can have what God says that you can have. And that's the reason why we preach the message that we preach. That's why we teach it to you this way. But anyway, man, without further ado, I do want to get right into this word. I want you guys to have a great Sunday evening, or if you listen to this on Monday, happy Monday, whatever. But I do want you guys to, just follow with me. We're going back to Mark chapter 4, and I just wanted to unpack Mark chapter 4 just a little bit more, because I wanted to kind of dive a little bit deeper into what Mark chapter 4 explains. So Father God, I just pray that you be with me through this message. I pray that you open the eyes, ears, and hearts and minds of those who are listening. May this word, Father God, take root in their spirits, Father God. May you water for the increase. May you put the people who are listening and receiving this message, may you bring other people to help water and strengthen them, Father. I just pray, Lord, that you just continue to grow that seed, grow those roots deep down in them, Lord, so that they more may produce fruit in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, we're picking up in Mark chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 11, and we're going to go through verse 12, and then we'll go down to verses 35 through 41 so I can break this down and unpack this a little bit more. So Mark chapter 11, this actually jumped out of me last week, and you guys heard me read it probably a couple times, but Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's explaining something to them, because the disciples were always confused when Jesus spoke in parables. So he says, "You are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven." Now, this jumped out at me when Jesus said he uses parables for everything to say to outsiders, because I believe that Jesus wanted to preserve true revelation for those who are willing to be in relationship and be intimate with him throughout his ministry. He did not, as he said before, want to cast his pearls to swine, so that the mysteries of God and that the keys to the kingdom were not just frivolously thrown around to those who are not going to be a respecter of the truth that Jesus was given. So this is what he meant as it was revealed to me, why he spoke in parables, because you guys will not give the most precious parts about yourself or your life to somebody who does not plan to be in your life, or who does not plan to be intimate or be in a relationship with you. Those things you would like to keep to yourself. So he's explaining to them these parables. And you guys heard me address last week that the reason why Jesus spoke about the parable of the farmer sowing seed is because I wanted you guys to understand that that the soil was not indicative to a specific type of person, but more so indicative to parts of our hearts or our spirits where seeds are sown. Right. So Jesus spoke about the seeds being burned where the seeds being sown. Where the seed can be taken away by the bird, you know, which is Satan, right? So that I told you was equivalent to distraction. So wherever there is distraction, the word will not take root. There were seed also sown among rocky soil, which means the soil was shallow so that the roots did not go deep enough to produce sustained life. So anytime we receive a word, it can be easily uprooted by the worries of this world, or the cares, or the burdens, or persecution. You know, it can be uprooted by those things alone. Right. And then seed was also sown among the thorns. So we also, we addressed that was the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the temptations of this world will also drown out your faith, simply because it is hard to have faith when you are comparing your lifestyle to someone else's. It does not allow your life to bring forth the fruit and joy that is needed for it to be strengthened. OK, so this is what we're talking about here in Mark chapter 4. Again, I'm just giving you a overview or a recap of what we talked about last week. But I also wanted to kind of throw in there verses 11 and 12, because I want you guys to not just see what I'm talking about and not just hear what I'm talking about, but I want you to understand. So I read those verses because I want to unpack this scripture for you in such a way where you can digest it and you can apply it to your life, because I promise you, your 2021 and the rest of this year can be so much better if you apply what I'm about to teach you right here. So throughout John chapter 4, we're seeing Jesus speak about several things. You know, again, we talked about the parable of the farmer sowing seed. And then Jesus moves on about the parable of the lamp, where he says it's not wise to put the lamp under a basket or under a bed, but your light is to be placed on a stand where it will shine and for everybody to see. Right. You put it out in the open. OK, let me just say that you put your faith out in the open for all to see. Your faith is always on display. OK, so. He also spoke about the parable of growing seed, like understanding that, you know, we don't know how how our faith increases, but God does, because he is the one who sows the faith as it pertains to our revelation through him and what we learn. Okay, so then it moves down to Jesus calms the storm. Now, before I get into verse 35, I want you guys to know that when Jesus was talking about he does not share certain things with outsiders, as I said before, he wants us to be in relationship with him so that the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven and the mysteries of God can then be revealed to us through relationship. But the one thing that I love about what Jesus is doing in chapter 4 is that he is taking his practical teaching. Okay, he's taking his teaching and he's about to put them in a practical situation to apply what they've just learned. Right. And so this is what verses 35 through 41 are all about. And you guys have heard this story many, many times before. But what we're witnessing is the disciples and Jesus getting in the boat. But if you read the scripture, it also says that others were getting in the boat to follow them. Right. So it says Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. although other boats followed, but soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and waves obey him." So it is not a surprise to me that after Jesus spends all this time teaching about faith principles and how it is sown and how it is cultivated, it is not by my surprise that now Jesus is about to exercise their faith in real time. Right. So it's almost kind of like doing like hands on. Like when I first became a personal trainer, I would always learn something and then I would go apply it. So the knowledge is useless until it is actually needed to be implemented in real time. So everything that I learned in my certification was useless, you know, unless I applied what I had learned, right? So that is the only time that it is actually relevant. So now Jesus has taught them about faith principles. He explained it in many different ways. He even gave them, the unparable version, right? He gave them the straight to the jugular version. He gave them the raw version of what he was teaching. And now he was saying, it is now time for us to go exercise this. So he's, as the scripture says, it says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out. Okay. Leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. Right. So Jesus prompted them, "Yo, let's go to the other side." Now, the crazy thing about this, it says after they got into the boats, it says that a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Now, the crazy thing about that is, guys, is that most of you have gone to the lake. Most of you have gone to the beach and you have been in a situation, or you have even seen maybe you're at a game or something, or you're outside. You can see from a distance when there's a storm approaching. There's these big black clouds and there's a big thunder hail where like the bottom of the cloud is It's flat, but you see these big, this big flickering of lightning that is going on inside the cloud. You see the wind picking up. You hear thunder, rain starting to fall. At that moment, guys, you know that there's a storm approaching. It does not dawn on me, you know, that these guys are at the shore of the lake and they're getting ready to get in the boat and they see a storm coming. You know, there's nothing about this text that identifies that they saw a storm on its way, because me, common sense would say, "Yo, there's a big storm coming. Let's hop in this boat and go to the other side." Nobody does that. You know, nobody is going to be game on getting in a boat with a huge storm approaching, right? But it says they start out in their boats and this big fierce storm came. And I believe that by design, this storm was hitting. And I think there's a reason why the storm was hitting, because as it pertains to faith, if we can see our way through the other side of what we're about to go through, it would not cause us to pray. It would not cause us to ask Jesus to intersect. It would not cause us to lean on him for understanding. If we could see it clearly all the way through what we're about to go through, we would not lean on him, right? So what I've explained to people before, that doubt and fear, like this is the motor that drives faith, right? But it is not the foundation of faith, right? Belief is the foundation of faith, fear and doubt is the motor that drives faith. So I wanted to put that out there, because I truly, truly believe that if they had seen the storm before they got in the boat, I believe the disciples would have rebutted. I believe the crowd that was coming along in their boats would have not gone out into the water if they had seen the storm approaching from ahead. Right. But out of nowhere, here comes a storm. And there are many, many times that we are walking through life and out of nowhere, there's a storm approaching. There's something that happens that literally shifts the dynamic of the way we are living life. And it is literally altering everything about our day-to-day life. It alters our mood, our thinking, our habits, the way we go about life. Everything changes when these big storms come up out of nowhere. right? And so I wanted to make that clear, and I wanted to point that out because this was one part of the text that really got me. So I believe this was the area, this was the classroom where Jesus was trying to help them dig deep down and pull out what they had been learning. Okay, so you know, like moving forward in the text, guys, it says that the waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Now, in the back of the boat, they're watching Jesus sleep on a cushion. So if you're on a boat and everything that is happening is revealing to you that, okay, this ship is about to sink, you do have some choices to make as it pertains to the realm of faith. Common sense will say that this ship is about to go down. But Jesus has been teaching, please trust me with what I've given you and with what I tell you. And so you have two different elements that are fighting each other right now. You have fear and you have faith. They're both in the same boat at this very moment. Everything is happening like everything is happening like right now. Like this was the actual classroom where Jesus was trying to teach them. They were just thought they were going to the other side. But the way this has come across to me is that there is nothing that can be taken from this, like at a surface level. And what I mean by that is this is more than just wind and waves. I believe that where Jesus was trying to teach them in the realm of faith was what is going on the outside cannot be going on the inside, because if this what is happening out here, if that is within you, then there's no way you can combat or fight what is outside of you. Right. Like you can't combat the outside world when the inside of you is raging. When there are waves and winds blowing on in your spirit, you cannot calm the winds and waves that are outside of you. And Jesus was reflecting at that very moment in the back of the boat, laying on a cushion, that in him was peace. In him was calmness and stillness. He had no worry. He had no doubts, no fears. He did not assume that they were going to die because the outside circumstances had revealed that they were tumultuous, because they revealed that they were dangerous. He did not let what was going on the outside interrupt what was going on the inside. Because what he was trying to show the disciples was that just because what is going on outside of you looks hurtful, looks painful, looks dangerous, looks tempting, that does not have to be the person that is within you. You literally have the power to change the dynamic of what is going on inside of you. And the dichotomy of the text is you have one man who is in, you know, total absolute peace. And then you have a boat full of frantics. They came to Jesus shouting, "Do you not care that we're going to die?" Jesus's response was, "Why do you still," he said, "why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" So this was a test. He was testing their faith. He was testing how deep they were in the faith. He was testing how deep of what he taught had been rooted, like which part of the soil did it fall on? This, I believe this was the true test. He wanted to know which part of what I taught, like where did it land? Because you have to ask the question, right? If I truly believe that where you have lack in an area is where you have the least faith. Where you have lack in an area is where you have the least knowledge, the least wisdom, right? Because faith is only increased by the implementation of what you know and understand about God to be true. And where you do not have confidence, you do not have a lot of faith. Or it could be absent thereof. So if you lack money, is it because some of the seeds of faith that have been sown about money have fallen on an area where you can be distracted, where you're not paying attention to where your money's going? Has that seed about money or faith about money, has it fallen in an area where it has grown up with the thorns, where you're tempted to buy things that you don't need? Or has it been sown among rocky soil, where you worry so much that you try to live now versus do constructive things with your money so that you can live later, right? So where did the seed of the faith of the thing that you're going through, like where did that fall? Which soil has it been sown among? Like that's the question. I believe that is what Jesus was trying to figure out. Where was the seed sown? What soil did it fall under? Okay. What soil did it fall under? I truly believe that one of the biggest reasons why we don't see our faith grow is because we really want to see the end result from the beginning. Now, when we have a vision is clear, but that does not mean we can see everything that we're going to go through. Visions and actually trying to use insight of faith are different. Now, you can have faith and believe that you can actually attain what you visualize, but you cannot see all the steps that God will order, right, in order for you to actually get to the end goal, right? Because the steps are ordered by faith, and you have to take those steps by faith. But you cannot, you know, strengthen your faith if you are demanding that you see everything that is going to be going on in your life. So if you could see your way clearly, there would be no reason for us to pray. Like if you could, like if the disciples literally had saw the storm, there would be no reason for them to try to exercise their faith. There would be no reason for them to pray if they could see the storm from the beginning. Like the storm was actually there to increase their faith. That is the actual gym where they would be strengthened. Was that place right there. You guys heard me say that doubt and fear is the motor that drives faith. Faith is the womb that births expectations, right? Faith is the womb where expectations are birthed. So if you have no faith, there's nothing for you to expect. Guys, I want you to truly, and we keep harping on this, and I don't know why this has been such a heavy topic for this season, but guys, your expectations have everything to do with what you have faith in or how much faith that you have. So, you know, this is just a clear, straight to the point approach of what Jesus was trying to show them. Everything that I've been teaching you, you now have the ability to put it into practice. The things that we go through in life are only the gymnasium to increase the strength of our faith. Don't miss that. Don't look at every situation that you go through as a good or bad situation, but look at how you can actually utilize your faith in the process so that it can grow. Because the stronger it gets, the more confident you'll be in your faith and the bigger things you can ask God to do in your life. And you don't really ask him to do enough because you believe on such a small level. Notice that when Jesus got up, he did not pray to the Heavenly Father for him to have the ability to speak to the wind and the waves. He did not pray for that. He woke up and spoke to the wind and the waves. You have the ability to let what is inside of you change the atmosphere around you. So if there's peace and calmness instilled within you, trust me, you can bring peace and calmness in the area around you, right? So what is inside of you can definitely transform the outside of you. And you have to be careful not to let what's outside transform what's going on the inside. See, I truly believe that this particular part of the text, God had allowed this particular storm, this thing, to reflect what could have been going on inside the disciples inwardly. A lot of times, what we fear, what we have doubt in, will begin to manifest itself in the outside world. I promise you, this is something that is true, that I've seen over and over and over again. And I believe this particular text is exemplifying that on such a level to where, you know, we can see what Jesus was trying to teach. This had nothing to do about the winds and waves of the lake, but it had everything to do with the winds and the waves that were going on internally and mentally. That's why Jesus asked the question, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And every day is an opportunity for us to put faith into action, right? The question was asked to me before, is fear the foundation of faith? Like, doesn't faith come from fear? No, it does not. They're two different things. Now, fear could drive faith, but it cannot be a product of fear, right? So what I want you guys to understand is that fear and faith can both coincide inside the brain, but the brain, as powerful as it is, can only do one thing at a time. It cannot make an action of fear and action of faith both simultaneously. You follow? It cannot make two intellectual decisions simultaneously that are opposing to one another. They just can't be, but they can cohabitate in the same spot. They can cohabitate in the same heart, in the same spirit, in the same room. You can't have both because you had peace and you had fear in the boat at the same time. Jesus was asleep on a cushion, which means he had total faith that he can control the outside circumstances, where the disciples had no control over any circumstance. So this is why they were operating in fear and they were so scared about what would happen to them. Okay, but I do want to pick up next week in chapter 5, because there is a specific reason that Jesus had them go through this particular test as they were crossing to the other side of the lake. There was something that he wanted to do, something that he had to show them, but he could not do that with the element that they were in. And we're going to jump on that on Mark chapter 5 next week, because this is super, super important. And I don't want you guys to miss it. But I know I was supposed to do chapter 5 this week, but this particular part of the text, I wanted you guys to understand that every day you're going to be challenged in an area where you lack faith. Right. And in that area where you lack faith, or your faith is small, means you have very little to no knowledge in that small area. And the way you can grow it and increase it is by gaining wisdom and insight in that area. You feel me? So understanding what God wants to communicate through you, through his word, will help you increase the strength of your faith in that area. And you become stronger in that area. And you can believe God for more. You can do more. You can pray harder. You can pray more because your faith has increased. Right. So it's not merely the reading of the word. It is the application of the word that you read that will increase your faith. You feel me? So I want you guys to understand that they were with the word. They were with Jesus. And the longer they were with Jesus, the more their faith had increased. Now, you'll see a lot of times that Jesus talked to them about not having any faith, but he will also put them in the predicament, or allow the situation to occur where they could strengthen their faith. So don't miss it. Just because we study it, it does not mean we study it and it just grows. But what we're doing is we're building the foundation so that when we are faced with an opportunity to exercise our faith, we can do that based upon the foundation that we built. And so you will learn to understand that the disciples, they didn't have much of a foundation. This is why they were fearful of certain areas. And you'll read that all throughout Jesus' ministry, where Jesus would talk to them and say, you have no faith, or you have little faith. And these were all different circumstances. All the circumstances were not the same, which tells me that the soil where the seed falls are not the same, right? We have a bigger faith in different areas than we do others. But if you can go and you can excavate, and if you can dig out all the weeds and all the rocks, and you can protect it from the birds, you can protect it from Satan, then I promise you, you will grow in faith in multiple areas of your life. Okay. Next week, we'll talk about how to do that, but we'll also get more into chapter 5. So Father God, I just pray that the word that I expressed today, the word that you gave me, I pray that it fell on fertile soil, that it was absorbed, and that roots are going to be grown, and that it will multiply 30, 60, and even 100-fold. So for the listener and those who are taking upon the word that I'm giving, and that they are believing you for increase, Father, may you increase them. Father, may this word that I'm giving them be a deposit into their spirit, into their soil, Father, and may it increase. Increase the listener, Father God. Increase the listener, Father God. Those who are hearing, I want you to say increase in your spirit. Increase, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.